Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Friday here on the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batko. It's been a wild week for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Russell Wilson's a Steeler. So is Patrick Queen. Deontay Johnson is gone. What is the new focus for this team? Has it changed drastically? Or is it still the same needs that we're seeing that still need to be addressed with the remaining players and left in free agency? And of course, the upcoming NFL draft next month. All that here and more on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Batko. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive Podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive Podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It's Chris Carter. It's Brian Batko. We're talking all things Pittsburgh Steelers here on the Friday episode of the North Shore Drive Podcast. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of your daily content that comes from all of our different Pittsburgh sports writers, and especially the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive Podcast. Reminder, the show is also brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today. They have over 20 televisions, so if you're trying to keep up with all the March Madness, there's no better place to do so. Go to Mike's Beer Bar. You can even reserve TVs for specific games that you want to follow while you're also enjoying one of their 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being from the local area, and 80 of those local beers available on tap. More on them later. As I said, we're joined by Brian Batko. Brian, let's start with this. Gauging on most surprised, are you more surprised about Russell Wilson being a Steeler, more surprised about Patrick Queen being a Steeler, or more surprised about Deontay Johnson not being a Steeler? Rank those three for us.
Ooh. Well, Chris, I'd probably put Queen number one because I just didn't think they were going to be able to afford him. Tip your cap to Omar Khan and company for maybe a little bit of patience. You know, they didn't jump all over it day one of free agency. Not sure what other kind of suitors Patrick Queen had. We're maybe going to hear from him today on the South Side. Steelers are introducing select free agents, and if they can't say who exactly, might be some guys who haven't been officially signed yet. So put two and two together there. But yeah, I'd say Queen one and Russell Wilson a close second. I just didn't think they were ready to shake up the quarterback room in that way. I mean, we talked about it 2 weeks ago, I think, on this Friday show, that we didn't think the Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins type of options were going to come to pass. And yet, you know, they found a salary situation with the Broncos paying most of it that they just couldn't pass up, I think. And I almost assume that the Steelers view it as, like, you look around the league at quarterback. Brock Purdy was in the Super Bowl this year. He was a seventh round pick. Maybe somebody in the organization was like, guys, it's so dang hard to evaluate quarterbacks. We're going to try our best, but we're also going to acknowledge it's a crapshoot. So let's just go and get a guy who might still be good, but we know for sure that he's barely going to cost us anything. So that part of it does make sense, even if I'm lukewarm on Russell Wilson, the player at soon to be 36. And a distant third of the options you gave me, Chris, is Deontay Johnson. We've talked about it before, almost a month ago now, probably.
Mm-hmm.
When I first brought that up, that it would make a lot of sense. And I guess somebody at 3200 South Water Street agreed.
Did you feel
they probably like had the idea before I did?
True. Did you feel like the return for Deontay Johnson was along the lines of what you thought would have been worth it? I think a lot of people were thinking maybe a fourth round pick, maybe a third round pick, maybe, you know, a L'Jarius Sneed while you give up a pick. And they get Dante Jackson, who's a solid number two corner. He's not necessarily, in my opinion, a guy that's going to be taking away number one wide receivers, but he's a guy that can play with Joey Porter Jr. And they did a swap of picks, turning a seventh into a sixth. Did you feel like that was not the kind of return that you'd expect if you were when you were thinking they should trade Deontay Johnson?
No, that part I am surprised by. I thought he'd have a little bit more value out there to the rest of the league, but maybe the other 31 teams just looked at it sensibly and said, okay, first of all, it ain't just the Steelers who know how good this receiver draft class is, right? Like that's the position of leverage that you are or are not dealing from. Everybody knows how deep this group is, and you can get potentially game-changing players in the first round. You can get possible starters immediately in the second round. You can get helpful contributors at wide receiver down into the third, fourth, maybe even the fifth round. We will see. So that's part one. Part two, I assume word gets around the league that maybe he wasn't, in the greatest of graces here with the Steelers after everything that happened last season. And then just third of all, very cold and calculating going into the last year of his deal, making a salary, while not outlandish, he has not produced to it the last couple of years for varying reasons. But I thought still, despite all those factors, somebody out there would say he's been a 1,000-yard receiver. He had some spotty quarterback play, to say the least, and he's a proven NFL vet, which gives you a little bit more confidence that way than a rookie trying to come in and make the transition from college to the pros. So I'm not going to crush the Steelers for taking that deal. Again, I think they probably, you just look at that trade on paper, Chris, and it's like, man, they really wanted this guy out of here. So, the pick swaps, it's not insignificant. I mean, moving up, what is it, like almost 60 spots or something like that, I think, overall in the draft. So it's not nothing, and we'll see if Dante Jackson has any gas left in the tank or if he's just the next William Jackson. But absolutely, I thought Johnson would fetch a bit more than that. And
I thought he would.
Reporting by, I think it was Mike Garofalo from NFL Network, that the Chiefs may have called as well. And who knows, perhaps the Steelers could have gotten a little bit more, but, didn't necessarily want to send Johnson to an AFC team, especially a top contender in the AFC, in this case, the reigning Super Bowl champs.
That's the thing, is that I think a big part of this is that the Steelers, they know how good Deontay Johnson can be if he's put in the right situation. And you think of Deontay Johnson's time here. Now some people say, oh, he had that one school season where he didn't score a touchdown. He never had like amazing numbers. Deontay Johnson's first season here was when Ben Roethlisberger's elbow was thrown out, and he dealt with, a half of a year of a good Ben Roethlisberger, and then the other half of a year with an old Ben Roethlisberger, then a whole year with an old Ben Roethlisberger, then Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, and Mason Rudolph. He has not had the kind of quarterback situation that, like, guys like Jamar Chase have, guys like, Stephon Diggs have with their quarterback situations, guys like, Travis Kelce, a tight end, with Patrick Mahomes. He hasn't had that. And I can see the Steelers thinking, look, we cannot send that guy to a team that we're going to probably have to play if we want a shot at the playoffs or a shot or a win in the playoffs. So they send him to the Carolina Panthers, where not only is it a bad team, but it's also a team that you look at and you're thinking, like, you're not going to have to face them, in any crucial situations, barring some crazy turnarounds. So I get that part of it, but I'm right with you that I just thought that Deontay Johnson, with his skill set, could fetch a bigger return, and it's certainly a question about if that could have been an easy thing to do. But I want to talk more about what's the new focus of this Steelers roster as far as how Omar Khan needs to be moving forward. We'll talk about more about that here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Batko. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. And when you go there, that means stouts, Hefeweizens, IPAs, double IPAs, sours. They have so many different flavors of things. Whatever kind of beer you like, they have in stock, and it's going to wow you just to see all their variety that's changing every single day as they always update the menu. But they also have over 20 televisions, so if you're a sports fan, there's no better place to go and experience all the action while you're sampling on any of the favorite beers that you like. And while they also have amazing food, like steak on a stone, where you pick your choice cut of steak. It's brought to you on a heated stone, and all you have to do is press that stone, that meat into the stone. Every time you cut a piece off, press it into the stone. Choose how well done you want every single bite, and then enjoy an amazing steak on the stone only at Mike's Beer Bar. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Brian Batko. Brian, we have been going into this free agency period talking about top needs. There's been a lot of talk about center. There's been a lot of talk about corner, a lot of talk about tackle, linebacker, safety. They've also added Deshaun Elliott as a safety, Dolphins and former Ravens guy. Looking at what they've done so far with Patrick Queen, with Dante Jackson, with Deshaun Elliott, and the additions that they've made and the subtractions they've made with Deontay Johnson, do you have a new look on their top priority that they need to get if they're going to be a real contender this year?
No, I still think it's a center, and that may well be because that's going to be draft priority number one. But even failing that, or acknowledging that, I should say, I still think that you've got to have a better option than Nate Herbig to be that bridge or that failsafe. And I'm a bit surprised that some of these like lower tier guys who've gone off the board, from, you know, Nick Harris to Coleman Shelton. And I think Mitch Morse was maybe a little bit up there in age. He probably wants to go somewhere and be a starter, but guys like that, that the Steelers maybe didn't sign. There's still some players out there that they could, or they just have a much higher opinion of Nate Herbig at center than I do. I personally think he's a serviceable backup guard, probably get you out of a game at center, but I wouldn't want him playing there for any length of time. I don't think he could do that at a high level. So it's just un-Steelers like to leave yourself with a glaring need at any one position. And who knows, maybe there's a chance that Mason Cole will circle back if the market's cold. We've seen that happen. Terrell Edmonds is probably the best, most recent example, but Mason Rudolph as well, that has gone down that way. I guess it's a little bit different with Cole because he was cut as opposed to just hitting unrestricted free agency. But that's still need number one to me for sure. If the season started tomorrow, it'd be Herbig and Spencer Anderson behind him. And we know that you need quality center play, especially with, a shorter guy in Russell Wilson now, who I think would be literally if the season started tomorrow, well, you've got a new offensive coordinator. So maybe it would be Russell Wilson anyway, despite having not taken a snap yet with the Steelers. But with a shorter guy, quarterback most likely, I think center becomes even more important, the overall interior of your line to give him that pocket depth. So got to upgrade there in a major way. And I would like to see at least sort of a middling move to protect yourself, insurance, if you will, in free agency before they get to the draft.
I feel you on that, because you don't want to go into the draft thinking, oh, you need a center. And then like it gets to like you're at 20th overall. And like, I don't know, J.C. Latham is sitting there, but you're like that guy's rated higher, but we need Jackson Powers Johnson because we don't have a center. If you're the Steelers and you're thinking that way, that could lead to you missing out on an opportunity like that. And then saying, you know, where you could, if you have a veteran center on your roster that you could say, hey, we can trust that at least he'll hold it down for a little bit, then maybe you can pass on the first round, maybe try to find a way to get Zach Frazier in the second, or try to get Cedric Van Pran, you know, one of those types of guys. But I do think that that's what the Steelers do like to do in general. That's one thing I think that carries over from Kevin Colbert to Omar Khan. They want to make sure that their roster has answers at the positions of need that can at least hold it down and make it so that they don't absolutely have to draft that position with a certain pick. But
yeah, you never want to be predictable in the draft. I mean, the other part of that too is you're sitting at 20 and another team that really likes Jackson Powers Johnson, if they're in the mid-20s, well, now they know they might have to trade up past you to go and get him. And next thing you know, then you're really sort of caught flat-footed. So, yeah, I mean, Kevin Colbert, I feel like he used to always say, Chris, at the pre-draft presser, we feel like we've got 21 starter-capable players out of 22. We're hoping to still get to 22, you know, before Thursday night. So that is always how they, you know, construct the roster there in concert with building the draft board.
Absolutely. I want to ask you this. Cornerback. We've been looking at cornerback like they might take one in the first round. They might take one in the second round. With the addition of Adonte Jackson, where does that put your list of cornerback on your list of needs as far as what the Steelers could get? Is cornerback in the first round, do you think, still something that's in play, or is that kind of taking it back because Adonte Jackson is a NFL starting cornerback?
I think it does lessen the need. I don't know that Jackson's going to be lining up as the starter opposite Joey Porter Jr. when week one gets here, because I think with somebody like him at his age and injury history and I guess up and down play last year for literally the worst team in the league, he might need to prove some things in training camp, and you might need to use that in the preseason to evaluate what exactly you have in him. But I've actually never really been on the corner in round one wagon unless a couple of the guys that I've thrown out there, I'd want somebody who's got a little bit more position flexibility and versatility rather than just being a pure outside corner. I think if it's a Terrion Arnold, who could also play in the slot in my eyes, Cooper DeJean, who could play slot and maybe even safety, depending on where you feel like he fits the best, those guys I would consider. But, you know, the pure outside players from Quinyon Mitchell to Nate Wiggins, I just think the presence of Joey Porter Jr. That makes it not the best allocation of resources and draft capital to go that way. I'd probably start looking in round two, and maybe to your point, yeah, having Adonte Jackson now here makes you feel even better about, you know, round two or later. But he's also sort of just replacing Patrick Peterson in that way, so it's a little bit of a net neutral to me, and you hope that Jackson is a bit more equipped to run with guys on the outside than Peterson was at his point in his career.
Certainly, especially with, you know, speed is part of Adonte Jackson's game. That's what he's supposed to be able to bring to the table. But certainly, I feel you on the point of cornerback. You know, maybe you still get one in the first round, but it's not necessarily as pressing of a need now with another guy out there. Certainly slot still, though, something they need to look for.
And maybe Jackson could play inside. He hasn't really done it much in the NFL, but I mean, with his size, oftentimes corners know if they want to extend their careers and their earning potential, you might have to move around and do some different things than you have to this point.
Might have to. I want to talk about the position that the cornerbacks cover, and that's wide receiver. We'll do that with Brian Batko here on the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Brian Batko. Brian, let's talk about wide receiver right now, because with trading away Deontay Johnson, now, again, we're recording this maybe 8:53 p.m. Thursday night, So, like, if there's something that happens at, like, 9:02 and you're like, well, duh, they traded for, you know, Tyreek Hill, like, you know, something like that. Why are you guys talking about this? Understand. Like,
Justin Jefferson. AB
reported. You're right. That's the name. I apologize.
AB reported they're trying to trade for Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
The person who runs AB's Twitter account reported.
Yeah.
They're trading for Justin Jefferson.
Point being, if something crazy happens, do not hold us to that. We're just giving you guys analysis where they're at right now. But you look at the receiver room. It's George Pickens. It's Calvin Austin. It's Marquez Callaway, who they signed kind of quietly. He was just a mid-level receiver for the Saints. Miles Boykin. So, like,
put some respect on Denzel Mims and Dez Fitzpatrick.
I apologize. I forgot the Dez's. My apologies. Dez and Denzel. But point being, this team needs a number two wide receiver and really a number three wide receiver. And it makes me question, what's the priority now compared to their other needs? Like, we talk about center. We talk about tackle. We talk about corner. Is getting a center or getting a wide receiver early now worth it? Because the Steelers did talk to a bunch of the top receivers. They talked to Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. I believe they talked to Ladd McConkey. They talked to Roma Dunze. They've talked to several of the top guys, first and second Roman round graded guys. What do you say?
Roman Wilson, another
Roman
one.
Roman Wilson, yeah. A guy that I think one of my personal favorites of this draft class as far as studying his tape. So with that, is first round wide receiver on the board for the Steelers, or do you think that's still a position that maybe they'll look for in the second or third round?
I think second or third round would be the sweet spot. I'm leaning toward upgrading your offensive line in the first, whether that's center, whether that's another offensive tackle to be bookends with Broderick Jones, preferably somebody to play on the right side to allow him to get back to his more comfortable spot. But yeah, I mean, I think receiver wise, you know, don't muddy the waters here for George Pickens. I think if you brought in a first rounder, he'd once again sort of be looking around like, what, you know, the Will Smith, Uncle Phil hug. Why you don't love me? Like, why you don't love me, man? Like, yeah, no, you do want George Pickens to be your number one. So, you know, I'm big on role allocation. I mean, I think it was awkward for Deontay Johnson a little bit when George gets drafted. And everybody kind of knows from the jump, like, this dude's more talented than our highest paid and highest targeted and former Pro Bowl wideout. He hasn't done anything at the NFL level yet, but we think he will, and he did. George Pickens eclipsed Deontay Johnson last year in my mind as a professional player. I think that made for some dynamics that got a little bit messy. Not saying Deontay had anything against George, but I think probably didn't feel all that secure in his standing within the offense and the team. And if you go out and, you know, pay buku bucks to another receiver, which I don't think is going to happen at this point because nobody else like that is really even left on the roster unless you make a trade. But a first round wideout, I think, again, you know, you'd sort of create that little bit of, hey, there's only one ball to go around. Who's our go-to guy? Good problem to have, but maybe not when you're not sure of your quarterback play, what your offensive philosophy and identity is. That'd be a good problem to have for the Chiefs or the Bills.
Right.
Or the Chargers. Like, I don't know that it's a good problem to have for the 2024 Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think it was a good problem to have for the 2023 Pittsburgh Steelers. And we saw the fallout of that on, what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday night. So, yeah, you know, I think the sweet spot for receiver is day two or maybe early day three. And with this draft, I think you can still get a very, very talented and, you know, possibly even an instant impact guy there. And you probably need to at this point with that depth chart at receiver that you just rattled off, Chris.
And to your point, we don't know what this offense is going to look like with Arthur Smith. Like, if this offense is going to run the ball a lot more, if it's going to make plays like that, and it's going to feed off of Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren and call play action, it's going to have situations where there's not three receivers that are going to get a lot of targets. Like, there might be one receiver and then a second receiver that gets a guy. But Pat Freiermuth is going to have to be a significant part of this offense. Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, George Pickens. That's already four guys that you're spreading the ball around to. You add a let's say a Roman Wilson is added there. you know, do you add, can you, you know, is a third that you pay a lot of money to going to make a difference there? No, I think that this is a place where, like you said, a day two pick makes a lot of sense. And then maybe still a cheaper veteran. You know, if you can still get a Tyler Boyd for not spending a whole lot of money, Tyler Boyd can be a solid, you know, guy that goes between your second and third option with your rookie based on wherever you get your rookie. And then that way you have capable wide receivers and you could still see how Calvin Austin develops over this next year while still not overspending there and ruining your chance to go fortify the offensive line, make sure that's solidified and one of the better units in the NFL, or adding a key piece on defense to make sure that you are still one of the top defenses in the NFL this year. I'm with you that first round, not there. Even though this trading of Deontay Johnson opens up a serious need to figure that out. But second, third round, maybe even fourth, like you said, that's where the sweet spot could be to find the right value while still addressing other key positions of need.
Yeah, and I still think, I definitely think they still need to sign somebody there as well. Yes. And whoever you do bring in, make sure it's somebody who's buying into what their role is going to be. You know, somebody who understands Pickens is getting the rock a lot every week, you know, but I'm going to do my part to try to take some defensive attention away from him. I'll have my chances to pop off. And if all that works, we all eat as an offense. I've got Russell Wilson possibly looking to distribute it. I think you definitely need to get somebody who's on board with that, knows what they're getting into as the number two, ideally somebody who could help mentor George and develop him a little bit, bring him along and help him get it as a professional at this level. So those are all qualities that I'd be looking at in somebody to sign here, rather than just, okay, let me get my list and get the guy who I think is the best pure wide receiver, all things being equal.
Absolutely. We'll have a lot more angles to cover this by at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com. Brian, thanks so much for joining us here and talking on this show.
Hey, let the ACC in the tournament. Let the ACC get in the in the NCAA tournament, all right?
You know, first they
screwed over the Florida State Seminoles in the CFP. Now they're trying to say that they'll be lucky to get four teams in the big dance. I can't stand for this anymore, Chris. I got to put on for the league of the College Athletics League of Pittsburgh.
I Noah Hiles and I are covering that right now. That's why I'm not in my normal setting. I'm here in DC in a place that we're staying right now so that we can get ready to that we can keep it. We cover it was a very competitive and I think a strong win for the Pitt Panthers beating Wake Forest 81-69. We did a post game show. You can check that out on the same platforms that you're watching to or listening to this right now and get our reaction to that. They take on North Carolina 7 p.m. tonight, Friday night, for a chance to where I talk to a lot of bracketologists who say if they win that game, that punches their ticket for in a lot of situations, whether or not you think they're in already. That's a huge game to put them into that talk. We'll have a lot of things covering that here from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Again, thanks to Brian. Thanks to you all for joining us here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We'll be back Monday with more talk on your Pittsburgh Steelers right here from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.